there long at all. But there's a phrase that several years ago got my attention, and I've, it made a profound impact on my life, and I've tried to live it. I try to live all the Scripture. That's the goal, right? The goal was not to know all the Scripture. The goal was to live what you do know. In Psalm 23, there's a phrase. Of course, the psalm is talking about what the shepherd does for the sheep. You know, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then it just starts talking about he does this for me, and he does this for me, and he does this for me. And we're so grateful for all that God does for us. He talks about the benefits of belonging to the Lord. And he closes it out in verse number 6 by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." And here's the phrase, "all the days of my life." And then he said, "and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, you know, that's a statement that's made with confidence. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you have to think about that a little bit. How about you? Are you ready to say that? Have you claimed that? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, it didn't say that every day would be a good day. That's not what David said. David did not say that. He just said, surely, in the affirmative, I'm confident that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If I'm having a bad day, God's goodness and mercy will be there, right? If things are not going the way I want them to go, well, then God's goodness and mercy will be there. Regardless of what's going on, these things are these attributes of God, all the days, not just some of the days or most of the days, David was sure. Now, when I began to think about that phrase, it led me to, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3, and here's another phrase that has caught my attention, and I think there's a connection somehow. I can't and haven't been able to put it together, and I may have to wait till I get to heaven. I don't know. Maybe somebody in here can help me. In 1 Peter, Peter begins to talk to people that, well, are going through a very difficult time. They're suffering. And what he's telling them is, in spite of the fact that you're suffering, you need to learn what it is to be submissive. Now, here's a problem that all of us have. Okay, we all have a problem submitting to the proper authorities in our lives, no matter what authority that is. And it's just running rampant in our world, of course, but in our churches even. And I think that it's really causing, well, some unnecessary chaos, confusion, heartache, sorrow in the lives of people that refuse to bring themselves under the God-appointed authorities in our lives. Peter starts out in chapter number 1, and he said, first of all, he said, you need, in verse number 6 and 7 of chapter 1, he said, God has a plan for your life, and if he sees fit, you'll notice he said in verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. God knows what's best for you. He will allow you to go through things if need be. If it's needful, God will allow this. But God knows. And so he said, you need to yield to God's will. You need to yield to God's way and not your way. And then he gets over in chapter 2, and he goes from submitting to God's way and God's will to, in verse number 13 of chapter 2, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, right? Some of you know it because you're not even looking at your Bible. Look, when I'm preaching, follow along. You say, well, I already know all this. That's our problem. And I'm just trying to help you here, okay? The problem is not that we don't know it. We're not doing it. And it's costing us, brethren. It's costing us. Our churches are emptying up. And it's a sad time when people on a Wednesday night come come to church and their minds on anything and everything but the Word of God. Let God help you. You need help. You might think you know it all. You don't. I don't. And so, if nothing else, let God speak to you. It's very, very, very important. It's very important that we learn what it is to submit to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. You can't just do what you want. I know that you think you can. I know sometimes I think I can. And when we do, it takes away our peace. It takes away what God wants to do in our life. God will not bless a life that is led in rebellion. And when we do not submit to the proper authorities, that is a life that is lived in rebellion. And so please hearken. Please. It's important. He said in chapter 2 and verse number 13, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He said, do it for the Lord's sake. Because you have a testimony. Now, I understand there's just some things that man comes up with that goes against God, and we're not going to bring ourselves under that. We're going to obey God rather than man. I understand that. But there's many, many ordinances of man that God expects us to bring ourselves under. Amen. And when we do not, well, we bring reproach on the name and cause of Christ. And so Peter said, first of all, you've got to learn what it is to submit to the Lord. Let God have your life. God knows what's best for our lives. And then God has set up government. And God has put authorities in government. And whether you agree with them, whether you voted with them or not, we're to pray for those in authority over us. And here, Peter said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Right? Is that right, brethren? Yes, it's right. And so we don't want to live a life of rebellion against God's ordained authorities. And then you get to chapter number 3. Well, before you get to chapter 3, in chapter 2, verse 21, he says, for even hereunto you, there, chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. And so Christ, he brought himself under the authority of the Father. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Didn't he? And so I'm to do that. You're to do that. We're to bring ourselves under God's authority. Christ, when they tried to trap him, and they said, you know what? Should we pay taxes? And who's greater? You know, what about Caesar? And he said, hey, give me that coin. He said, whose inscription is that? Remember? And he said, you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and you render unto God the things that are God's. And so he said here in chapter 2 and verse number 21, he said, Christ left us an example. Why? That ye should follow his steps. Bring yourself under the God-ordained authority that God has placed in our lives. Now, all of this is leading to something. See, God wants our lives to be conducted in such a way that we could lead peaceful lives, that we could lead lives to where we're in fellowship with our Maker and where we're in fellowship with one another. But when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, it's chaos. It's complete anarchy. And we're seeing it in our society today. And can I tell you, it's crept into our churches. And I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want it to happen in my life. I don't want to see it happen in your life. And I don't think you want that either. However, the influence is very strong. And so we have to understand God has placed these authorities in our lives for a purpose. And you just don't get to do what you want to do. People say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, you know, you do what God said do. You want to notice, this is the scripture I'm getting to. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Remember what David said? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You want to, in verse number 10, you want to love life and see good days? I believe everyone in here does. I really do. I believe we could poll everyone that's in here, and we could even go into the community and line people up and say, hey, I have a survey question for you. How would you like to love life and see good days? They'd say, put a check by that for me. I want to love life and see good days. Can I ask you a question? Are you loving life? Are you seeing good days? Because the remedy to do that is right here in this passage of Scripture. Peter is writing to a group of people that are being persecuted. They're scattered tribes. It's Jewish, it's Hebrew believers that have gotten saved by the grace of God. They trusted the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they're being persecuted for their faith. They're suffering. And Peter's writing to them and saying, hey, instead of retaliating, instead of quote-unquote fighting back and showing them what you're made of, bring yourself under the God, and here's the key, the God-ordained authorities in your life. You want to love life and see good days? You want to have God's favor on your life? You want to see God bless your life? Then bring yourself under the God-ordained authorities that God has placed in our lives. And man has a problem with this. He has from the very beginning. And as I was just taking my evening walk today, I was just thinking about in my own life, times when I just got out of sorts and off track was when I was not doing this very thing, bringing myself under the God-ordained authorities that God has placed in my life. We justify it in so many ways. We try to make ourselves believe that it's okay, that it's my life, it's my call, it's my business, we say. Can I tell you, if you're saved, it's God's business. If you're saved, you're God's business. You're God's property. So how are we going to do that? Well, Christ left us an example to follow. Is that right? He did. And you know what he did when he was reviled? Look at what the Scripture says. Look down at chapter 2 in verse number 21. He suffered, and he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, verse 23 of chapter 2 says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's what the Scripture says. He didn't retaliate. He didn't say, I'll show you. He didn't say, I'm going to get revenge. That's not what he did. He didn't fight fire with fire. You know, like so many Christians now have gotten this mindset that that's okay. The Bible clearly teaches that it's not okay. There's some things we ought to hate. There's some things we ought to take a stand against. There's some times we ought to speak up, stand up. Amen. But not just because something bad has happened. We were talking a little earlier about the sad situation with Charlie Kirk. And, you know, my first response was fight fire with fire. You know, hunt that sorry somebody down like an animal. And I'm not against justice. Don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say here now. But we have to be real cautious as Christians not to become the things that we hate. You know, when I was reading some of the comments of those people that were saying, good for him. You know, he got what he deserved. He was for the Second Amendment. Well, I don't want to become that. I don't want to become that. Do you? Listen, you don't conquer hate with hate. Listen to me now. And if we're not careful, we'll not submit. And right now in our minds, we're thinking, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. What are you talking? You know why? It's human. All right, it's human to want to fight fire with fire. It's human to want to fight hate with hate. That's human. But it's not godly. And I'll show you that here in just a minute. The Scripture says that when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile again, verse 23. When he suffered, he threatened not. Somebody challenges you, somebody disagrees with you, somebody even insults you, threatens you. What's my response going to be? What's your response going to be? I believe a man ought to protect himself and his family. But I think that we have to go about it in a way that is scriptural. and not pagan. The scripture says in verse number 23, he didn't threaten, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know what he did? Now listen to me. He submitted himself to the proper authority in his life. He submitted himself to his Father. And that's the example that he left me. And that's the example that he left you. That's the example that he left us. And then you get down to chapter 3, and notice how it begins. Likewise. He says, so this not only works in your relationship with God. Please don't miss this. This not only works in your relationship with your government. It works in your relationship with your family. He said, likewise, and he began to address the wives in verse number 1 of chapter 3. Likewise, be in subjection, wives. Is that what he said? He's talking about being subjection, being in submission, bringing yourself under the proper authorities. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3, in verse number 7, he said, likewise, ye husbands. Why? Because he's talking about authorities and proper authorities and how that we all have authorities in our life. They're God-ordained authorities. And you can't expect people that's under you to submit to your authority if you're not submitting to the authority that's over you. Amen. We got folks wanting their children to submit to them, and they're not submitting to the authorities that God's put over the parents. The children are learning the disobedience and the rebellion from us. And we scratch our head and say, I don't know what I did wrong. You're not submitting to the God-ordained authority. I'm not indicting you. I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying if we're not careful, we lose sight of the fact that everyone has God-appointed and God-ordained authorities in their lives. And God expects me. God expects you. God expects us to yield unto that authority. And so he said it works in our relationship with God the Father. It works in our relationship with the government. It's God-ordained government. God did ordain government. Everybody understands that, right? Yes. God ordained the home, and that's what comes next. God ordained the home. And so he said, listen, there's authority in the home. Learn your place. Stay in your lane and bring yourself under the authority that God has placed on and in the home. Now, why do we want to do all of this? Because God said, you want to love life and see good days? See, all of this is building up to chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, look at it again in verse number 10, for he that will love life and see good days. You're going to have to bring yourself under God-ordained authority. Now, there's one final thing, and this is where I'm going to kind of highlight, and we're going to come back to this another time because I need to spend some more time, well, quite frankly, in prayer before I preach this. But I wanted you to look at it, and I wanted you to know what God is saying. There's a lot of people. This is where the rubber meets the road right here. This is where we've gotten off track. There are missionaries. There are pastors. There are church leaders that think they answer to nobody. You answer to God. Amen. You answer to your leader, whoever that is. Amen. You cannot do what you want, when you want, and how you want. You answer to someone. We all do. Amen. It's the same way in the home. I could tell you story after story where parents have told me things that their children have done and said. I was just talking with Sharon about a conversation that I had recently, and it boggles my mind at how parents allow children to talk to them just any way, roll their eyes at them, tell them straight to their face, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you're not helping that child by allowing that to happen. You're hurting that child. Well, I love them too much to correct them. No, when you love them, you do correct them. You correct that kind of action. And so there's God-appointed and God-ordained authorities. Now, chapter 3 up to verse number 7 is dealing with the home. And there are so many good things. I started to get into this, but I just want to give a little bit of an overview. So I want to ask you a question, and then I have a thought I want to give you, and I'll be done tonight. I've got to go back to the drawing board. Hey, man, I've got to go back and get into this a little deeper. When I got into this, I'm telling you, when I got into this, God let me know real quick. You've got some work. Me and you've got some work to do before you're going to be able to really preach this. And sometimes I do have enough sense to yield to my God-ordained authority. I said, yes, Lord, I will. I want to preach this. He said, you're not ready. Now, you've got to... I don't know, I've been pastoring for 19 years. You probably never heard me say that. This is how serious this is. You know the reason a lot of people hate their life? You know, Solomon said that in Ecclesiastes. Yeah, the life is vain. It's vanity. Because he wasn't yielding to the God-ordained authorities in his life. Life becomes empty, vain, void. No purpose when we will not yield to the God-ordained authority. When we think we're the one, the buck stops here. I make my own decisions. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. When we think we have all the answers, when we think we have life figured out, when we think we're going to do it our way and no one is going to tell us any different, I tell you, we get in trouble that way. And it's very easy to get in that mindset and that state of mind. It really is. And so what does Peter say here? See, I think Peter had a problem with this. I really do. You go back and you look at his life and you'll see where Peter was doing okay, but he always had this problem with really bringing himself under the God-ordained authority in his life. And he said, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way. And as a matter of fact, Jesus tried to tell him his way, and he took him to the side and laid his hands on Jesus and shook him and said, Lord, you know, God forbid. No, you're not going to do that. You say, well, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, no, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we tell Jesus, our Lord, different in a different way than Peter told him no. But it ended up costing Peter. And he ended up following the Lord afar off, and he denied the Lord, brethren. And eventually quit. I said, I'm just going to go back to fishing. And as that wasn't sad enough, it impacted the people around him. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is gracious, aren't you? I'm so thankful for that. He didn't leave Peter to himself. He went and found him on the Sea of Galilee. And you know the story there in John 21, how he graciously and patiently and compassionately dealt with Peter and brought him back to a place of service. And he basically said, Peter, you know the reason you don't obey God-ordained authorities in your life? You have a love problem. You have a love problem. You don't have a problem bringing yourself into the people you love. I want you to notice with me in verse number 8. So what do we say now? We said that there's God-ordained authorities in our life. Number one, it's God himself. He reserves the right to tell me what to do and tell you what to do. He owns me. I'm not my own. And in verse Peter chapter 1, he said, if need be, I'm going to put you through this. This is going to happen if need be, because it's going to help you. And so I need to bring myself under God's authority. Number two, government's authority. I need to bring myself under the ordinances of man, as long as it doesn't conflict with the laws of God. Number three, the family. The home. God ordained the home. And when we do it God's way, God honors it, God shows favor, God blesses it. And then number four, we get into the church. Notice what he said in verse number 8. And this is where I want to spend a little time in the future. But I want to give you kind of an overview. Because he deals with our conduct in verse 8 and 9, and then in verse number 10, after he says, look at it, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." And so he deals with his conduct in verse 8 and 9. Then he says, you know, you want to love life and see good days? You're going to have to bring yourself under proper authority. And he said, you're going to have to get your conduct in check. But he said, you're going to have to get your conversation in check. You can't just say what you want to say about who you want to say it to, anyone you want to say it to. You hurt people with your words. You destroy people with your words. You can do irreparable damage with the things you say. Don't be so flippant with your words. It's what Peter's saying here. He said, watch what you say. In verses 8 and 9, he says, watch what you do. But in verse number 10 and 11, he says, watch what you say. You be careful about what you say, who you say it to, and who you say it about. So let's look and see what he said, and then I'm just going to give you a few words here, and then we'll come back to this another time. Let's see how we're doing on the front part. I already know the back part's a problem. But on the front part, he said, finally, we'll sum this up. We have responsibilities to God. We have responsibilities to the government. We have responsibilities to the home. But he said in verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. And he addresses that. He said, love his brethren, down on in that verse. He said, you know, as a congregation, as a church, as a group of people, as a group of believers, I know he's not writing to a church, but he's writing to believers, and believers make up a church. And so he said, finally, be ye all of one mind. As believers, not everybody, just every believer, be ye all of one mind. And so he said, when you think of the believer, you got to understand something. We all have different thoughts about different things. And we differ in so many areas of our life. But yet he said, be of one mind. Now what's he saying here? He said, learn what it is to accept there's differences. Now I'm not talking about doctrine, nor was Peter. As a matter of fact, there's an old saying, and I hope you'll memorize it. On essentials, unity. And that's what he's saying. There's just some things that are essential. Amen? It's essential. The blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that's essential. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, that's non-negotiable. That's what I mean. The inspiration of the Scripture, that the Bible is God's Word without error. That's essential. That's non-negotiable. On the virgin birth of Jesus, that's essential. And so he said in verse number 8, he said, finally, be all of one mind. On the essentials, there ought to be unity. Now, on the non-essentials, there ought to be liberty. Did you know that there are some people that think different than you, and they're just as saved as you are? Amen. I know that comes as a shock to some people. There's some people that don't live the way you live, that may take a little more liberty in some areas. And we may, when we get to this point, and I would encourage you to read Romans 14 and 15, it goes into detail about this. That there's just some people that, well, there's some people that will eat at a place where they sell alcohol. Some people will not. Well, you shouldn't break fellowship with someone over that. That's not an essential. That's a non-essential. That's not, listen, that doesn't determine if you're a good Christian or not. This is where everybody in here ought to say amen. You say, well, I have a strong conviction about that. Well, keep it. Amen? Keep it. Don't give it up for me. But don't judge me because I don't have your conviction, and I use that word lightly. That's a preference. And I think it's a conviction because I believe it. That's our problem. We can't found our conviction on the word, then if you can't do that, it's a preference. Some people are getting a little rippled already. Be all of one mind. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to understand that not everybody thinks the way you think about everything. Not everybody thinks the way I think. You say, well, preacher, we're glad about that. Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing I think. I think I pastor a good church, and I love my church. It's God's church, but I'm the shepherd of the flock. And it's okay to have different views on things. That's okay. As long as it's not essential. On essentials, what? Say it with me. Unity. Unity. On non-essentials, what? Liberty. In all things, what? Charity. The Bible teaches this. Essentials. Unity. Unity. There's things you ought to break fellowship with someone over. There's things that we will break fellowship with some people over. There's things that I would not allow man if I knew that and we do our research. If they stand for certain things or don't stand for certain things, they're not going to step behind this pulpit while I'm the pastor. Essentials. But non-essentials. You know, man wears, I don't know, wood frame glasses. Well, I don't care if he wears wood frame glasses or wire rim glasses. Plastic rim, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to break fellowship over someone over that. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And it hurts the cause of Christ. And I could name 1,000 things that people are bickering over, and, you know, it's just ridiculous. And it's hurting the cause of Christ. Non-essentials, liberty. That's what they want to do. Go for it. There's people say, well, yeah, I don't listen to Christian music that has drums in it. Well, you know, drums is not my favorite instrument, but if you want to listen to Christian music with drums in it, go for it. I'm not suggesting rock music or quote-unquote Christian rock. I've told you how I feel about Christian rock. There's no such thing as Christian rock. Just because you put the name Christian on it doesn't make it Christian. That's like smoking Christian pot. You know, that's crazy. You can't put the name Christian on something. But just because something has a little bit of a different rhythm to it, or they use an instrument maybe that you're not keen on, that doesn't make it wrong for them to listen to just because you don't like it. Amen. Come on, brethren. Amen. Break out of that stuff. Don't you let somebody put you under the yoke of bondage. Don't you get caught up in that stuff. It's easy to. And so the scripture here, what is Peter saying? He says, finally, be ye all of one mind. What's he saying? He said, be compatible. In essentials, have unity. In non-essential, practice liberty. Practice some liberty. But in all things, practice some charity. Just because someone doesn't, you know, believe exactly like I believe, I'm not going to just leave them out of the circle, so to speak. Well, you know, I'm going to sit way on this side of the church. I'm not saying anybody here does it. I'm just telling you what Peter's saying. Hey, man, I've seen Christians do this kind of thing. And if I'm not careful, I'll get caught up in this. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in this. And Peter's putting out a call, and he's saying, now listen to me. You can have strong convictions and deep compassion to reside in one heart. Amen. You don't have to be mean-spirited because everybody doesn't look like you, act like you, and do like you. And he said, there's just some things that we ought to come together on. Look at it again. Be ye all of one mind. That's exactly what he's saying. If you do not have unity in your fellowship, you are going to have chaos. You're going to be having fights and bickering and just a bunch of silly tale-bearing and gossip. Well, did you hear what so-and-so? Well, did you hear about it? I saw so-and-so done. I saw them in there, and they had on this. Just stop it. Stop it. That is not what God has left us here for. You say, preacher, we going to drop our standard? No, we're not dropping our standard. I'm not. Listen, that's not what I'm speaking to you about. I'm talking about being a people that, well, let's just see what it says. Look what he said right after this. Finally, be y'all of one mind. What's the next words there? Having compassion one of another. You know? So they don't believe like me. So they don't act like me. So they go to different places that I maybe would not go, or I go to different places maybe you wouldn't go, or I have a different preference of music. Listen, I love classical music. I hate classical music. Well, that's okay. And you know what? Get you a banjo and a ukulele and get in a corner somewhere and go for it. And just so you know, I like bluegrass too. I like a lot of different kind of music. Well, you didn't say amen that when I said classical. I'm breaking fellowship with you. That's silly, preacher. Yeah, I know. I know. It is, isn't it? And yet there's people that have this mindset, well, if you don't believe, I've got to change you like me so that we can get along. No, you just be you. You be who God made you. That's a good thing to be. And quit putting down other people because they're being who God made them. As long as it lines up with Scripture. Now, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, now we've got a problem, you see. Well, let's finish this up. Finally, be y'all of one mind. That's compatible. Number two, be compassionate. I think that speaks for itself. May come back and elaborate on some of these next week. Just this part. Then he said this, love as brethren. Be caring. When you see that word love, it's talking about a brotherly love. Love, he said, not love the brethren. He said love, look at it, as brethren. Have a brotherly love for one another. Be family. Look out for one another. That's what he's saying. Right. Have your brother's back. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, me and my brothers fought like the old saying, cats and dogs. But now if you let somebody else outside tangle us, well, now you got a problem. And, you know, you stand up for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Stand up for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't let somebody use your ears for garbage cans and just run down people in the church. Don't you do that. He said, look at it. He said, love as brethren, which means be caring. Then the fourth thing, he said this, not only love as brethren, but he said be pitiful. There's a sense of humility there. He's actually saying be comforting. When you see someone hurting, take the time to check up on them. See how they're doing. Don't turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to them. So that a preacher will get it. Well, you know, the preacher loves people, but you ought to love people too. Amen. Well, I'm not an officer in the church. Well, if you have to be an officer to care for people, something you don't understand. You're a Christian. The love of God is put in your heart. You love them. Amen? Then he said, be courteous. Look at it. I like that word. Be courteous. It's just be thoughtful and friendly. You know, it doesn't cost any more. It doesn't take any more effort to be thoughtful and friendly to people. You don't have to be gruff and rude. We're talking to Christians. We're talking about what's expected of us. You want to love life and see good days? Implement this stuff. That's what Peter's saying. You can't love life and see good days when you're doing the opposite of this. You just can't do it. It's just a bunch of turmoil. It's just a bunch of bickering and drama. I don't want that stuff in my life, and I don't think you do either. Well, my time is up. But I have to say in verse number 9, he said, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Don't fight fire with fire, preacher. That's not what Peter said. He said, you don't do that. Now, there's a time to fight. Matter of fact, there's a time and a season for everything under heaven. But we need to bring ourselves under the authority of the one who is guiding our lives, and he'll let us know when it's time to do what we need to do. How are you on the proper authorities in your life? I didn't pass my test. I passed in some areas. Well, I guess I had to claim that proverb, every man will think more highly of himself. You know, he's kind of good in his own eyes. I done pretty good when I was checking my own paper. Remember those days back in school when you got to check your own paper? I got to check my own paper, so I did do some good in some areas. How about you? How are you doing with the God-ordained authority in your life? How are you doing? God has placed authority in our lives. You say, well, preacher, I think I'm doing pretty good. Well, let me ask you this. Are you loving life? Are you seeing good days? Because he that loveth life and seeth good days is going to have some of this, if not all of this, in his life or her life. You're going to be bringing yourself under the proper authorities. Because if you don't, there's going to be just a bunch of chaos and havoc, bickering, fighting and murmuring and complaining and drama. That's just terrible. Terrible. It'll cause you not to love life. It'll cause you not to have good days. All right, let's stand to our feet. Well, I realized it was just a little bit scattered, but I believe I preached what God wanted me to. I know this. I know the devil didn't want you to hear that message tonight, because the devil wants each of us to do our own thing, like him. That's what got him in trouble. He didn't submit himself to the proper authority, and it cost him everything. I wonder how you're doing.